Welcome to Wellington Inkslingers.
Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Wellington Inkslingers. We are recording our special New Year's edition, recording on Boxing Day. So any major world events or catastrophes that occur by January 1st, we express our sympathies where appropriate.
I like it. Hopefully. I like it.
Same goes for hangovers.
For hangovers, yes. Yes, we'll release this on like New Year's Day or whatever.
For those of you who are hungover, oi!
Oi, prick!
Don't be mean.
Get off your face! All right.
So have some hair of the dog and listen up.
Yeah. Where I just served at some of our panels some jelly I made out of red wine, actually, and red wine and one out of eggnog, which the consensus was red wine was a bit tart, but the eggnog I thought came out quite well.
Wine was very definitely red wine.
Definitely. A bit of cranberry in it, which made it really tart.
Possibly when you put some rose in, maybe some sugar next time.
A little bit. Some rose water syrup kind of thing.
But I think the feel it was chopped up with a little crumbled blue cheese,
perhaps? Lace wine.
Basically, with a little
really needs
a crust of cracker and a blue cheese. Yes.
Ooh, that well, actually, anyway.
Actually, anyway,
we got a podcast. Thing we're doing here, don't we?
Podcast. We haven't been eating my alcoholic jelly.
We like to wander. Right.
We like to wander. Well, yes, I think we're at our best when babbling. So let's just start on a subject and then just.
Maybe we should introduce ourselves. Like.
Oh yeah. Let's do that.
We sound so incoherent compared to the one we recorded just before.
I know, and we only had like one jelly. Okay. Catherine's going to have to be our driver for this, maybe.
Hilariously, I cannot drive.
Well, we have been talking for an hour, so we are into babble mode.
We talked for an hour before, so we kind of like got all that out of our system. But anyway, if you're just joining us for the first time for some reason, hello, I'm your host, Angela Wells. To my right
is Catherine Haynes.
Jack Newhouse.
Woody Szadlo.
And as you probably noticed, yes, like half of us are Kiwi, half of us are American. That's just by accident, you know, just by the tides of time that have carried us to this point.
There was going to be another Kiwi, but she didn't get enough sleep last night.
She was sick, yes.
Immigration happens.
Immigration happens, yes.
Political exile from the...
Political refugee. I consider myself, even though I left right when Obama came in, and I like Obama. It's just.
We're not talking politics here. We're talking erotica.
Oh yeah. Oh, we're gonna talk New Year's resolutions.
Yes, erotic refugees.
And erotic refugees.
Also romance.
And romance, yes, because this came up in our little interim between recording our cast is the strict rules between romance and erotica, which I was vaguely aware of, just the same way you'd be vaguely aware of the difference between any genre, but Catherine had a real lot to say about that.
I don't proclaim to be an expert, but I've seen enough to know something.
So do you want to kind of start us off on, like, so Catherine, what exactly, to the person who's not a big consumer of romance or erotica, there might seem to be only a few hairs margin, but what are the rules? How do you tell whether they've been violated?
If I was going to piss off a romance fan, what would I do?
Don't end with a happily ever after. Or at least they're together and there is hope. You know, that's the big rule. You romance, they're together. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who think, no.
So if romance is column A and erotica is column B, then if something falls into...
You can have erotica and romance that are together. An erotic romance is a very definite genre. A lot of which we are seeing, but there is a straight up difference between romance and a story with romance in it.
From what you've explained to me, romance is very much a genre defined by what it has in it. As opposed to fantasy, which kind of is defined by a lack of needing to follow typical rules.
Yes.
Or
so it's more like steampunk has its own rules compared to, say, other subparts. Because, I mean, lots of stories have romance in them, from sci-fi to contemporary to historical to murder mysteries.
Yeah. Because you gotta appeal to women, right? Even if you're writing war fiction,
that's the only thing women want.
You gotta have some heart.
I'd rather say the love story in Balena was all for me.
Yes.
I was the only ship I needed then.
The love story. Okay, explain briefly for the listeners. Balena
is one of the novels I'm working on. and it was initially going to be an all-male cast because it's on a whaling ship in the 18th century.
Hey, romance happens.
And the...
Spent so much time.
Actually, yes, a lot of my beta readers were disappointed that it didn't turn out to be a gay romance. But it was a toss-up between either my main character is, you know, I'd envisage him as straight, so it would involve a certain, you know,
character change.
He'd have to go through quite a lot of change, and that would probably take over the story, because it's a really big thing to, you know.
This is true, and if you already got whaling to deal with, you know.
Yeah. And that's not even the main part of the story. There's, you know, so much going on that I wouldn't be able to give that story the time that it would need to go through all the...
That's for your readers who write slash fic to do, which I will. I will take this and I will write my slash. I'll call it spermaceti. Anyway.
Whereas the other option was to introduce a single female character.
Which was dressed in witches, hiding out.
A far more interesting option.
Because then you have the conflict of one woman on a whaling boat, even without the romance aspect.
Yes.
But,
you don't take women out to sea, boy. You know what happens?
The periods attract sharks.
God, it's just bad luck. I didn't mean to make it all biological. Oh, God.
So, anyway, going back to the romance aspect. First of all, not an expert. I don't even play one on TV.
Nope.
But
well, you should.
It's like, you know when you go to McDonald's, you know exactly what you're... You're going, or you're making a recipe, you're going to make or eat something like that. And when somebody turns out, oh, by the way, your favorite recipe, I've replaced X with Y, you're like, this doesn't taste very nice. This is not what I wanted.
I took out your cheese sauce on your macaroni and cheese and put in cranberry sauce instead. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah. You know, if you go in wanting to read a romance thing, you want to see a happily ever after, and then, you know, the apparent love interest dies partway through and they introduce somebody else.
Subversion is not welcome here.
Yeah, if you are going to market it as a classical romance, as opposed to a woman's fiction, or which, you know, I'm not exactly a fan of that term.
Yeah, ladies for
ladies,
fiction,
sorry, ladies.
Fiction for ladies who do not take well to surprise.
But to use the genre
we'll
terms,
on our couches.
A woman's fiction or contemporary, which has romance in it, it's a different genre, different rules. You don't. It's like, you know, 2020 cricket is different from 5-day cricket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's different...
Yeah, sure it is.
I know enough about cricket. One of them takes 5 days to play. The other one is over in an hour.
Yeah. So, you know, there's still the same basic rules and everything. And they're both a lot of fun, if you like cricket.
But you watch cricket. This is baseball. Yes.
But it's a different concept.
Different beast. You don't show up for a horror movie and it turns out to be a horror musical.
But
or
anyway,
you don't
but,
show up for a musical
anyway,
and it turns
we were,
out to be a
we
horror
were,
movie.
We were discussing what the actual rules were.
Yeah,
so one of them is
the
happily ever after.
That's
the
general one
for romance.
Yes.
What's can you give any other ones like?
I think that's the big one. There has to be, again, not an expert. But generally, from what I have gathered in my... I almost feel like an anthropologist wandering into this new society that I don't know that much about. And so I'm going to come up with exactly the wrong concept.
And here we see the romance reader. Ooh, here comes the protagonist. Note the glistening chest, the waving hair.
Actually, that's, again, the protagonist generally tends towards female, unless you're looking at male-male romance, which is rising in finding an audience.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, is mostly female, and mostly written by women. So it's another thing.
By women, for women, etc.
Yeah, so it's like other... I mean, there are male romance writers. Nicholas Sparks, not romance writer because of the happy ending sort of thing, that the couple are together. He just writes crying porn.
Okay.
Which, you know, for some people you really need to get your cry on.
Do you mean it's it's porn that makes you cry, or it's...
It's just it, it the emotions the same are purpose as
porn serves the sex, but for crying.
Yeah, it's...
It's people being sad about things.
Yeah.
Just extremely. You know,
sometimes you just are so sad, so you need to go watch a movie where the kitten dies.
Or you need to go watch The Muppet Christmas Carol, which is just,
Or, you know,
ages. I need to rewatch that.
Something inside you hasn't quite burst, or so you need that prompt. So you watch the thing, so you watch Titanic. Or, you know, something to that effect of the couple aren't together.
Yeah.
Or I think in the U.S. there's the Lifetime channel where, like, I did hear that referred to as emotional porn for mommies, which sounds vaguely... But the fact that so many of those TV specials were about, like, a woman, a middle-aged, middle-class, you know, white woman who's, like, you know, her daughter is pregnant or her son's doing drugs or her husband's doing
a secretary.
A lot of times it was, like, something really horrible happening to someone she knew, but it was how it was affecting her. Yeah. Not her feelings, which I understandable people have feelings.
So, if you...
It's just like,
So, you know, as I'm saying, Nicholas Sparks or Titanic is crying porn, because you go into those sort of things wanting that sort of reaction out of yourself. Romance, you go for that... Well, at least that's how I go when I'm reading romance. I want to see them get together, struggle, but triumph.
The
same way you read, you know, epic fantasy to see them get to this dark point, but save the world. Same way you want to see Superman brought down to his knees so he can rise up and save the day and save everybody. Which is why some things where Superman, you know, destroys Metropolis doesn't quite work. Because So when that... We saw that same thing with the new Superman movie. People wanted to see Superman rise up because that's what we want out of Superman, to be the great hero who saves everybody, you know. Today nobody dies. So to gritty him down, and it's not that it's that same problem. It's not the Superman we want to see. So if you have a romance that turns out to... that is marketed as a romance... It's not the same. So it's like saying, I want to meat pie, and it turns out to be vegetarian.
Right. And if you were to... So if you were to maybe, like, illustrate... If we were to, like, envision maybe Venn diagrams... Those are fun. Like, if it was, like, a Venn diagram where romance and erotica intersect, like, where would there be, like, in the exclusive, this should only be in romance, or people would get upset.
So
this should be in erotica, people would get upset.
Romance is just the couple can have sex. But it's the degree of sex. It can... There is...
Erotica does not fade to black until we are well into the scene.
If it fades to black when they fall asleep.
Yeah, it fades to black, like... Romance, it fades to black after the kiss or after the hand falls on the...
Again, it depends on the romance.
Because we have everything ranging from Amish romance, which... we've actually seen a big push towards that. A lot of people are reading it almost as a counter to the... Because everything...
Oh, Ezekiel, the way you raised that barn makes me tingle.
Oh, Jebediah, plow my field.
Because...
Amish erotica.
It's... Because a lot of stuff does have a lot more sex than it used to. And especially in the non-categories. Again, you go for the category romance because you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yes.
If you get the Greek billionaire's virgin bride, you know you're going to get a Greek billionaire and the virgin bride.
Yes.
Or, you know, the billionaire secretary's secret baby.
The sheik's
new wife. So you have your categories because you know what you're going to get. You know, you're ordering off the menu.
Yeah.
So if something turns out to not be the same... Again, those are the most strict of rules you actually have. I looked at some of the rules. There's actual rule lists.
Yeah, I've heard that you have to have...
So they're actually really hard to write.
The first character has to be... The first character introduced has to be the female protagonist.
Yeah,
the second character introduced has to be the male lead. They have to hate each other upon first meeting.
Yeah,
they have
really?
Yeah,
that,
yeah those...
It's the Wuthering Heights thing. For that context, of course. There are... So,
but that was one of the classic rules.
So there's always the misunderstanding, you know. And again, you can get slightly more degrees of sex with fading out.
The only level,
you know.
Yeah.
And again, the romance would focus more on the emotions during sex rather than the what is actually happening physically. You can get various elements of both, but romance is more when the emotions are in play. So if you have erotic romance would be romance, but also with explicit sex.
Right, okay.
So romance would be, I've never felt this way. And erotica would be, I've never felt this way.
This way.
Again, it's all varying degrees. And then once you start to lose the romance and the final couple factor, especially, or final three, as we are seeing a lot final more three. On the...
So it'd be very, so it's very easy, so the line between erotica and romance is blurry on the romance edge, but very firm on the exiting romance.
Yeah.
It's very
That's
firm.
Why there is the erotic romance. Section of it.
Because I haven't read much romance, honestly. But the last thing I really did read to any extent was what was the Sookie Stackhouse novels? I still haven't read the last one.
Oh, we should talk about that, because that is actually what prompted this whole discussion.
That kind of came up because where would the Sookie Stackhouse novels kind of fall? Because obviously, because it didn't get too graphic, but it got kind of on the romance.
The thing is, Sookie Stackhouse is a massive genre.
It's
cozy mystery. It's fantasy. It's horror.
When I worked at Borders, they actually allowed me to make an end cap with Laurel K. Hamilton with Sookie Stackhouse and with all this, and they actually allowed me to label it horror-mantasy, because that's what I started calling it, because it was all those aspects.
Although
of, like,
I guess for Laurel K. Hamilton, it's horror-mantasy.
Yeah, but it was because there was a whole spate of that. Sookie Stackhouse was just one
See,
of the
again,
ones
Sookie
where
Stackhouse
it's all
is on the mild
women
end,
sleeping with
while
vampires.
While Laurel K. Hamilton is further on the
further
other
on
end.
The
I think I've played a horror-manter in one in the game.
Horror-manter.
But
horror-manter.
See, again, you've got those, you got Sookie Stackhouse again, which further along, I mean, there are semi-explicit sex scene.
Yeah.
But the point that we were going for with the Sookie Stackhouse novels was that
spoiler alert. If we're going to get into
we are going to get into
the spoilers for this novel.
The last book apparently made quite a few of the readers very 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 very
yeah,
very cross
because of the one of the problems leading up to the end was that there were still several love interests in play.
Hmm.
Again, you saw this with the end of Twilight and Hunger Games.
I didn't.
Well,
oops.
The fan mess-ups everyone saw, but when you have more than one love interest in play, only one can win.
Yeah.
There were quotes there.
It's monogamy.
Team Peter, team whatever.
Well, also, it's that whole versus aspect
versus.
Requires a winner.
Mm. If they are competing, then one of them does have to win, or more than one have to kind of come to some agreement.
Someone has to be removed.
Yeah.
Somebody has to lose, at least. So, you know, you've got Alex and Brian, and they're all...
If we can just have a quick description of the characters, just so that those of us who haven't read the Sookie Stackhouse novels...
Sookie Stackhouse.
Okay,
let's continue with that, because we've already announced the spoilers. Yeah.
So during the Sookie Stackhouse books, there are multiple men that she sleeps with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you start with Bill, Eric,
let's go to the important ones, some of them
have, you know, there was one that lasted only a book, and you know, there was, it didn't work out in the start, and
she was
having a really healthy life for a 20 something woman.
Mm-hmm.
Murders and vampires aside,
yes, as you do,
she was experimenting, seeing who she was with different people, and so she'd sort of been with one character for a couple of books. It wasn't quite settled in the romance aspect, but you could see that the next thing coming up was the solution of, well, how do we solve the mortality problem?
Uh-huh.
Because he was a vampire and she
wasn't. We're not spoilers, so we can say the names.
We are in spoiler mode here. Who do we got?
We've got Eric.
In the red corner.
We have Alexander Skarsgård.
Alexander Skarsgård.
And in the blue corner.
Sam. The shapeshifter.
So we got a lycanthropic shapeshifter.
Yeah, he turns into a dog and
turns
stuff.
Into a dog.
Okay, we got a shapeshifter in one corner and a vampire in the other.
So there are pros.
Let's
and cons.
Smack them together. Or what happened?
Yeah. So as I was saying, so. Over the course, various men have been cut out.
Right.
Which, and it worked. Through the past couple of books, you could feel doors shutting.
Mm.
Not
mm-hmm.
just on men, but on plot lines as well.
Right.
So you can feel everything trying to be
narrowing
down. Narrow down. So, of course, the big question was, who wins? Well, there was, of course, Team Sam, Team Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Very quiet Team Bill aspect.
Quiet Team Bill, Tiny Flag. Tiny Flag. Like,
we didn't win, but we don't care.
Oh, well. So anyway, the final two, man.
We've always had fanfic.
Yeah, and it wasn't a very strong, at least my reading of it. He was sort of around. You could see,
Who was?
Sam. Bill. Mm.
Sam. He Sam. Was, okay, Sam was like, around. She sort of went out with a date with on a date with him at the start, but it didn't work out, and he was always there in her life as a friend. You kind of get the feeling he was being really nice.
Like, nice guy.
Not as bad as some of them, but he was, you know, very, if you want me, I am here.
Mm. Yes.
So he was often considered the safer choice because he is aging. He is does go out in the daytime. He's from the same small town as her. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So he is very much her life as it was before.
Yes.
So you can see the appeal there, whereas Eric is a Viking vampire who's got interesting morals, and so he's that danger and excitement factor. So that's again a traditional conflict in romance. The traditional and the safe.
The Betty versus the Veronica.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Versus the bad boy. Mm. So
how did it resolve?
We are in spoiler territory.
I'm just trying to think of the best way to phrase
this. How to phrase this.
It was an external problem that separated
Sookie
and Eric. Okay, it's been a while since I read that, so some of the particulars may be a bit fuzzy, but I remember going, what? Uh-huh. It's like how in some...
And get to the meat of this.
So basically, he got forced married off into, well, I guess you could call it sexual slavery in some ways. And
to
she didn't...
vampire.
Yeah. And he was sort of asking her for help, or at least to, if we do this together, we can fight this. Do you want me to fight this? Or do you want me to
go quietly to be
you to be safe? And she chose the safety and eventually and hooked up quite quickly with Sam. There was
go for safety all the way.
Yeah. Well, the sex scene that followed was kind of terrible. I think it was like sliding against each other like seals. Yeah. See, that was also part of the problem. So, the lack of choice. You see this a lot with love triangles being resolved. Not through the girl actually going, I like both of you, but I pick A. There's an external factor. You know, one of them dies.
Rocks fall.
Everyone
one
dies.
Of the love interests dies.
Yeah, one of them dies, or one of them
turns
does
evil.
Something bad that she cannot accept, or...
How dare you wear those jeans or that jacket?
And no one ever just sits down and says, well, you know...
They're actually...
It's time for both.
There are some there are a few that do resolve like that. There was one that was going to, in young adult.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, she chose neither. At least in the start, a couple books later. when she sorted herself out, which is what she needed more than the actual choosing a winner.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. But, so, that was... It was the manner in which... It wasn't so much a... She didn't make a choice. Well, she made a choice, but it was kind of a very passive... Wow, that was kind
a
of...
A passive letting me. Something happen to letting something else.
Yeah, letting something else. And then going, huh... I can have my good human life now.
Yeah. Aww.
I'm going to...
It was...
You know what, I mean, ladies? Settle.
Settle.
Yes.
Settle was, for less.
there were... Obviously, there are always going to be people who will get upset that their team lost.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like supporting sports teams. You don't want to be on the losing side.
I want to see romance hooligans tearing apart a city after... Yeah.
Again, that is a genre. There is. It's like how there's NASCAR romance.
Oh,
NASCAR actually sponsors. There's a NASCAR line of romance novels.
I suppose there's for everyone.
Yeah, it's for the NASCAR.
Revving her engine. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Yeah.
You know, it's the drivers and the normal women.
Cockpit.
But so of course, there's always going to be the people who wanted Hermione to hook up with Harry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're still going.
Of course.
Mm. Is there anything else that perhaps you could do in erotica that wouldn't fly in romance? Is it mainly just the extremity of sex?
Again, erotic romance is definitely classified as such for a reason. Mm. It's got the emotional factor, and they do end up together. So you can, like, Fifty Shades of Grey would be romance in the sense of they meet
a quick question. Isn't one of the rules of romance that the protagonist can't cheat on someone who isn't evil? To use multiple negatives.
I suppose.
Like the protagonist can only cheat
cheating on the abusive jerk.
She can be
with the hero. But that's in the sense of being safe.
But in erotica, basically anyone is allowed to have sex with anyone else for a variety of reasons, and it's kind of okay.
If you want to appeal to the romance thing, they will be like, "Whoa, I don't want to read about a cheating woman," because again, it's that level of romance. If they're in a non-exclusive relationship, then have at it.
But that's not what I ordered.
It can be
extremely romantic, jeez.
It's not the ideal.
I mean, you can have stuff that starts off as sounding really just straight up erotica, and as the emotions come into play, it does turn out to be, hey, it's a romance.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there is,
but it's not a romance novel.
Mm. Again, rules. Some of the rules seem to be sort of, you know, being pushed.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are some obvious ones where people try and market their straight up erotica
as romance,
or like there have been some erotic romance things where it turns out that you know, they come to a sequel. And everyone's like, a sequel? And
the same characters?
No. Because one of the characters has died, and it's the other character got moving on. And everyone's just like,
happy ever after.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing with the latest Bridget Jones book.
I haven't read that one.
I didn't.
There was a big hoo-ha because the whole plot of it.
A big hoo-ha.
When they revealed the blurb and everything. Mm-hmm. You know how the first two books were her getting together with Mark Darcy?
Mm-hmm.
And that everyone was like, yay! Yeah. And again, you know, you have the false romantic lead and Hugh Grant. So you can have the false... Was. Yeah.
Whatever.
The jerk. You can the have jerk. The jerk is a well-established...
Yeah, the false romantic lead. Mm. You know, the one that she... But when they released the blurb for the third one, it seemed... Again, this is based on memory, that basically said that what happened was Mark Darcy had died and it's her getting back into the game.
So even
though it's probably considered more women's fiction, we perceive it as a romance because of the whole Pride and Prejudice aspect.
Mm. That's like romantic in the classic sense, like, you know, with the and Mary see, Shelley, Percy, Byron, like, oh, people are dying.
You
know,
you cheered for Bridget to get together with Mark Darcy, and they got together and it's like, yay, and then you're like, what did you do? You broke it.
What? You already got your score?
You know, you want them to live happily ever after. You know, Disney's not going to write another Cinderella movie where they get divorced 10 years down the track.
I think that is a thing, though, that I'm kind of going through right now. Not letting go of fictional characters.
Because
she could just as easily have written it about another character whose name was, let's say, Bridget Groans, who, you know, doesn't actually... who's with someone whose name is, you know, Barcy, and he dies, and then she goes back and thinks, that could work! You could write that, but writing
this... Yeah, there are lots of romance novels about men and women finding love a second time after they've lost someone, there's a whole genre because all the men have babies.
But making it the same character that we've already gone through this with probably did feel a bit like betrayal, especially if you ended it with a happily ever after.
Yeah,
sort
people do get invested in fictional characters. Yeah.
And more importantly, they get invested in them and then they let them go. They're done. Their story is over. I'm done with Bridget Jones. She has gone through her arc.
Yeah.
There's more to that story.
Was Bridget Jones hitting midlife crisis.
Yeah.
That, you know, and
buying a very powerful car or whatever it is that women do when they get a midlife crisis.
Even then, if people were like, and then there's this young guy around the office who's kind of interested in her.
Woohoo.
That would be, again, be a problem, because who cheats on Mark Darcy?
Yeah.
That's also probably part of the problem.
Well, if he's also having his midlife crisis.
Who cheats on Darcy, you know?
Yeah. So there are rules,
and again, people react strongly to fictional characters.
Yes.
You suddenly turn someone evil.
Yeah.
And there's like absolutely no sign, people will get kind of pissed.
Understandably.
So it's just that same thing, except that it's really heart and emotional. Well, if that's how it seems when I'm reading something more romantic.
If you get connected to a character and then the author, who basically is the god of that character's universe, informs you that, oh, that story that you read about them isn't quite the end of the story, then that is not the end of the story anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that, and you can't put the genie back. You can't say, oh, I'm just kidding. That actually was the end of the story.
Yeah.
you can't do that because you've still got that second workout that is a continuation of the story, you know?
Right, yeah, you can't argue with God.
Like, even when a writer does set out rules of their world, you know, okay, here are the rules of the world. They're different from our world, but here are the rules. People go, okay, those are the rules. And then the author writes something that goes against those rules. They're like, but
the rules!
This doesn't even make sense!
You can expand
the rules, but you can't break the rules that have already been set.
Yeah.
That is an excellent segue, since we're still kind of on the subject of romance and erotica, now that we've brought up rules. Your attempt to write erotica kind of got waylaid a little bit,
yeah,
didn't it?
Well, my waylaid?
Hey!
Well, my forte is generally fantasy, if you're prepared to include things like steampunk and frankenpunk, etc.
Yeah, sure.
In fantasy.
Punk.
Then fantasy is what I do. I'm a world builder by trade. And
I decided to set out... Fjords are your specialty. Sorry.
Sorry.
Slide of Bardfast represent!
I've sat down and drawn maps, and fjords are, you know, fun. But, world building is what I do. So I decided to set out to, break the mold a little, write some erotica, just get it out, stick it on Amazon, see what happens.
Yep.
Within a week, I had a fully functioning magic system, a 3D model of a flying gondola, and of the city that it would be flying around, and at least some idea of how the politics would work in the city.
Uh-huh. So, you were writing erotic fantasy or erotic sci-fi?
Erotic.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Erotica generally is present-day contemporary. That's where you went wrong, generally.
Yeah.
Because...
But that's boring.
It is kind of boring, honestly.
That's the point.
That's kind of the sad...
You know what you... Again...
No!
You can get a lot of erotic stuff. I mean, there's like Kushiel's Dart and everything. Lots of sex.
Lots of people love the Kushiel's...
Because again, that's...
Or the dinosaur porn. We have to bring up the dinosaur porn because...
That was just more... What? It wasn't even that... They were charging, like, $3 for 80 pages.
No, I'd like to actually mention, like...
18 pages,
someone,
maybe?
Yeah.
Someone I follow on Tumblr, well, someone I used to follow on LiveJournal was they're basically a two-person company, like a husband and wife who do adventure erotica, which is actually...
Choose-your-own-adventure stuff.
It's not choose-your-own-adventure, it's just adventurous erotica. It's like, it's set in either...
I do have a friend who is doing choose-your-own-adventure erotica.
She's done airships, steampunk, pirate porn.
Yeah.
Doo-dah. It's airship, steampunk, pirate porn.
Doo-dah.
And also like a Old West kind of bordello kind of thing. I love that shit. It's exciting. I haven't read much erotica, but what I have, I'm like, that's exciting.
Yeah, there's plot with
sports. Steampunk does present some fantastic opportunities, as does clockpunk, which is what I'm using.
It sure did.
For large, powerful apparatus.
Uh-huh. Oh, there was, yeah.
Thrusting pistons and howling steam.
There was like a sort of physian logical control collar involved in one. I know, spoilers, but you know.
I guess, was your point, was the plot the erotic nature, or was the erotic nature happening in the world?
I was just going to set up to write the sex scenes, but I decided that before I wrote the sex scenes, I needed to figure out, you know, what the bedroom that they were having in sex in was like. And if I need to know what the bedroom is like, I need to know what the building is like. And a week later, I have a fully fleshed out city with, you know...
So, what was your actual focus? Was your focus on the 2, 3 whatever people?
You can't really talk about the people unless you know what their world is like. I just kept on having ideas, as I do.
A lot of it is contemporary, because then you don't need to rush into a lot of the world.
But the
you
problem
can just
with that is contemporary is extremely boring.
So for some people, I guess it's what turns you on, basically. Do you like something that's sort of like modern contemporary that's easy to self-insert? Or a really elaborately planned fantasy setting?
Look at all that.
Well, if you need, you know, if you need something that's easy to self-insert,
hey!
Maybe I can package something with the book. Come on.
God,
well,
we're ridiculous.
It's like the mature rated fan fiction. It can just run straight in it because we already know the world.
Mm.
We're already, so there is no need to build that. So you can have that fantasy aspect to it because that's all been happened. I mean, there are
if you say that like,
quite erotic romance novels that exist in fantasy worlds
or
sci-fi worlds, but they tend to get taken over by plot.
Yeah, with fan fiction especially, you can basically just say, "And they had sex in the Gypsy Danger Hole," and everyone who's seen the movie knows exactly what that looks like because they've all seen it in glorious 3D and
example
with the hi-fi.
Because the contemporary aspect removes a lot of that world building, so you can focus on the.
You can say they had sex on the bed.
Yeah, you know they went to the bar. They went to the bar. You know they know what it.
Yeah.
So you can, once it gets taken over by plot, it becomes plot with, or porn with plot. Yeah. So.
But the problem is that if you're writing, I won't say it's boring again, but if you're writing in contemporary, your characters can't have a threesome in a flying gondola.
So you need to think about what your genre market is, whether you're going for that erotica market.
We're not doing troubleshooting
because
for them.
Because if
we're
you
just,
wanted
not,
to make that easy money,
no.
You need to go more into the contemporary factor where the sales are. Because
the biggest people
who buy the ebooks on Amazon are the romance sector. That's the huge market.
But
we're not
troubleshooting for them.
That's the thing. You have to know the audience that will buy it.
The fun is that earlier on the first attempt of a podcast that failed was you used the phrase, I think, trash for cash, which at this point, yes, which is what a lot of romance not writing could be, just like, I'm just gonna pump out a whole bunch of words and people will buy it and get off on it,
but the thing was that you
found yourself unable to do trash for cash because it's gotten too complex. I mean, you could go back and try.
Yeah,
but maybe
there will be an audience, but it won't be that massive e-reader market.
Well, but that's just the thing, you know. You have to write what's fun.
Exactly.
You know, you could force yourself to write something that, you know, will technically tick all the boxes and make a good sale. And I suppose that romance very much is an exercise in doing that.
Depends on the author and the
publishing company as well.
You know, if you don't get off on it, then don't bother writing it as erotica.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have to take a little break, you know, about 10 minutes into writing the scene to just sort of, you know, go think about things for a little while.
Like you've got more plot than you do. You've got some really great, exciting aspects of the world to examine beyond what is happening in the gondola.
So it might just have to be a novel rather than a piece of erotica. You know, it might have to be a full-on...
Yeah, or just tone down the plan.
I think I'm still
going to
go with my original plan to publish in shorter sections rather than trying for the full-length novel.
Mm.
And shorter, cheap segments over Amazon and try and get those out every 3 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's...
Self-publishing can be a boon that way.
Yeah, if you're there in that
models,
right
yeah.
market again, that's why a lot of the big self-publishing successes are romance ones.
Yeah.
Because they have that massive ebook buying tendency.
Mm.
Whereas...
Yeah. Great thing about e-readers is that you can't see the trashy cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of people can read anything they want.
Also,
anything they want.
And for some reason, they keep choosing 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Because you've heard about it.
Yeah.
Rather than... There is better stuff for free on the internet.
50 Shades of Grey, again, started off in that e-market.
What turns you on?
Well,
it's out of like
Twilight.
That's true, that's true.
De gustibus non disputat animest,
you know? I love
that. So, there's no accounting for taste, sorry. I have to go Latin on that.
Your kink is not my kink, but in this case, I'm still going to judge you for it.
I'm still going to judge you because...
really?
Because, God.
If you have that kink... There are better places.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just like you enjoyed that. Okay, we'll try this if you actually.
Yeah, if you don't want
your brain cells to die.
Yeah, if you really liked that kind of that cheapo steak there, you might want to go to a proper steakhouse next time, one that specializes in putting out steaks.
And if you've tried both and you prefer that, and you still prefer 50 Shades, I'm afraid there's no help.
And I don't know what to say to you.
That is exactly what is happening. that's why you have seen the boom in the erotica and the erotic romance markets, because the average Joes and Janes are reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Let's face it, mostly Janes.
No, I've seen a lot of men reading it.
Huh.
Yep. That's worrying. That's fucking worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting idea. They're reading it to get things to do with their wives.
Yeah.
Or to their wives.
Oh,
I did hear that there was a jump in the sales of cable ties.
Yeah, the hardware stores got. Yeah.
It's the Schwama effect. The
fucking cable ties. Oh my god.
Not the safest.
Basically, the worst thing ever.
But the problem is a lot of the
okay.
The more in piano touch with the community type of romance, erotic and romances with that sort of theme, aren't doing as well because they're not matching that 50 Shades of Grey aspect. While the ones that are writing that 50 Shades of Grey style, with the in terms of behaviour and rules, are doing better in sales, which again promotes that this is what it's like. So the next generation who don't practice end up writing the same thing. So,
it's got to be some sort of compromise.
So
basically,
you see it in every sort of genre. One thing booms out, everything tries to ride it, and tropes get
fantasy is probably the biggest example of this
elves.
Ever. Elves and dwarves. To quote zero punctuation, elves and motherfucking dwarves.
Yes, you see it in young adult, young adult.
Just to be clear, we're still discussing erotica, right?
Yeah, elves and dwarves.
Exactly.
You see, so 50 Shades of Grey, you see those similar types of romance novels. You see, young adult, there was this the Edward type, that controlling guy.
Yeah.
And the covers that all tried to mimic Twilight. And
And then they did the Pride and Prejudice Twilight style covers. Oh god! And see it with the dystopian effect.
Oh yeah, everyone loves dystopias because a couple people did them right.
Yeah. Or did them decent.
decently.
That's just the thing. There was a really good article that I read saying, you know, a lot of publishing companies and writers look at what's popular right now and try and mimic that.
Yeah.
But it's never, it is never the genre that defines what went right with that book.
It's just
if the 50 Shades of Grey isn't a good book because it has BDSM in it.
Bad BDSM.
It isn't a good book.
But
and it's not selling well because it has BDSM in it.
Yes,
no,
it's not.
That's not why. Why is it selling?
But it's not selling because it has BDSM in it. It's selling because other people bought it, and
it happened to be in the right place at the right time with the right push.
Yep, it was exactly it was
fit the niche that had already been kind of carved out by Twilight because it was Twilight
and a lot of
it was Twilight but with fucking and
it
that
was Twilight
that turned out to be what a lot of people
fucking,
wanted.
Yeah,
yeah. And what was the other one? The Hunger Games has prompted a lot of Hunger Games knockoffs.
Yeah,
because what the Hunger Games did well was obviously that it was set in a dystopia, right? That was the only thing that really mattered about the plot. Fuck the characters.
And
get rid of that
Divergent
shit about
came
the
along,
them.
It, which again was the they had the
that.
Big
yeah.
flash up of the ending of the romance aspect that pissed off everybody. But I won't touch that because that's too recent.
Okay. Okay.
Again, so when that hit, everyone was like, "Yes, definitely." This because everyone will look for the next thing. It's like when Harry Potter became big, everyone was looking for the next Harry Potter. I think the closest that would have come would be Percy Jackson.
Okay.
But probably. What happened was the next big thing was not the next Harry Potter. It was Twilight.
Twilight.
Is not going to be like the current thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
If you want the next big thing, you do not look to the current thing. You just do something good.
Yeah.
And just
to go to the young
do
adult
something
aspect.
Good and pray because it's random.
Contemporary is becoming big.
Contemporary. Okay.
Because John Green.
Mm-hmm.
So we had John Green and his latest.
But it's
thing.
But it's only because but it's not yeah. it's not contemporary that's becoming big. It's John Green
because
that's becoming
really nothing.
Big.
John Green style contemporary because one of the big hits because the young adult section of the NYT is basically John Green.
Uh-huh.
There's only one John Green novel that isn't on there, and it's Will Grayson.
Mm.
So that's actually an interesting thing to examine, because that's the one that is probably least John Green, and it has a gay protagonist, and it's a co-authored.
Cool.
So, you know, you could think about that, because it's a bit less John Green style. And the one that has started to rise up is Rainbow Rowell, and she...
Rainbow what?
Rowell.
Okay.
I hope I'm pronouncing her name rightly.
How do you spell that?
R-O-W-A-E-L-L. Rowell. Rowell. Rowell.
Okay.
Yeah, she wrote Fangirl and Eleanor and Park, which got a big boost from a John Green thing. So we've been sort of been seeing a rise in contemporary at the moment, in that age category at least. Adult will be, because adult just spreads out a bit more, because it's not seen as shoving into the same thing.
Yeah.
It's an age category, not a genre.
But it's, but again, it's not gonna, it's not gonna, the next big thing isn't gonna be contemporary.
No.
It's not going to be the contemporary.
It's not
going to
be John Green.
It's going to be the next.
The next big thing in contemporary is going to be the next John Green novel.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I think we talked about this.
So we're going to go back to that New Year's factor.
Yeah. So do we have any particular New Year's resolutions we want to share with the audience?
Do you want to start this time? Because I've been talking quite a bit.
You have, but that's okay. Yeah. Because it's been interesting to listen.
Yeah.
What was it? Yeah, my New Year's resolution, finish my current story, and then edit it. Like, actually edit one of my stories this time.
Your nano, then?
My nano. Okay. I'm currently 60 to 70,000 words in.
Woo-hoo.
It's looking like it's going to be about 200,000 by the end of it. Then go
and
through.
And how many pages is that then?
Depends on how many words a page, but 250 page. Is generally the standard.
So it's going to be about 400 pages then.
That's...
No, 800 pages.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, it's like, wait, only 400?
250 per page is a pretty small amount, though.
It's considered probably the standard, but of course, that was the estimate before we had word count.
Going to be pretty chunky, yeah.
But it's going to be a big old story as it's currently being written. Then next comes the glorious bit where I get to go through and just chop everything out.
You know,
move this scene up to the front where it starts, because I'm kind of realizing that it really should start about halfway through the story, and then kind of fill in the rest as backstory and kind of flashbacks.
Cut the length down a bit, maybe?
Maybe a little bit, here's hoping. But it's good, it's been good writing it, and I think it'll feel good to edit it, because it actually feels like I know what I'm writing. I found the theme. I figured out the fucking theme.
Yay!
What is the theme?
The theme is, there must be a fall for there to be a rise. And the main character has never failed in her life. And so and she doesn't consider her current course of action to be a failure, and it has to, and I'm gonna
she has to realize
right at the end, when she kind of realizes that when she tries to figure out what resources she has left, and she has nothing. She has spent everything and has gained nothing.
She has
finally failed, and therefore can rise again.
Alright, cool.
Phoenix, motherfuckers!
Yeah.
And that's my theme, and I can actually go through and push that theme throughout the book. You know, have that. I actually can edit, which is a nice change.
Yes. Jack.
I'm going to be working on Panther and the Heron and getting.
Which one's that? That's the
Clockbunk erotica.
Okay.
And my goal for the year is to get that out on Amazon.
Awesome. Yep. Catherine?
My goal for next year is I am going to write a very New Zealand young adult novel.
Right.
I looked at what I was writing, because I think I needed to start saying really fresh, something really close to home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at, like, what do I have that not many other writers have?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if I write something very New Zealand, the working title is just Kiwi Gothic, so
cool.
I've sort of described it as a modern day The Tricksters by Margaret Mahe, but it's not going to be that fantastic, because no one can come close to Margaret Mahe. So I'm not, I mean,
shoot for the stars.
Yeah,
you can beat Margaret Mahe. What does she got on you?
A couple of awards.
Someone has to win those awards.
About 40 years of writing experience.
She has an award named after her.
Uh-huh. Hey, someone has to win those awards, and it might as well be you, right?
Yeah, and just looking at things like, what do I have that makes me as an author stand out from every other author out there? Because, I mean, there obviously are going to be New Zealand young adult, but
There's some.
And something that is very New Zealand, but again, mm-hmm. you've got to figure out the way to write the New Zealand thing without being alienating towards either New Zealand readers or American readers.
Yes. Catherine Mansfield, there's your model. She got big in the States, so.
Yeah, because, you know, teenage readers in New Zealand don't read enough of her. Yeah.
But, hey, she still got big in the States, which, you know, for a New Zealand author is still rare, you know?
It's, yeah.
Even if it was over a century ago, it's still...
Yeah, I'm gonna look at...
It's still something that crossed the divide, and the way that she wrote it might...
You know. Yeah, and I'm hoping that, depending on how quickly I can do this, I can ride that. Look, New Zealand teenage stuff is cool now.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lydia Ko, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. And New Zealand in general is actually moving up in the American... knowing of us.
Yes, thanks to, like, Lord, yeah, is the...
And Lord of the Rings. So what we
Lord
need
and
is,
Lord of the Rings.
What we need is just to everything that comes out of New Zealand has to have Lord in it so that everyone knows.
So I'm trying to figure out how to write a very New Zealand fantasy, because I've had people, Americans, say, you should write something that's New Zealand mythology. And I'm like, you know, write your cultural heritage. Write New Zealand mythology. I'm like, one, I'm not... Maori, and
I
would be very, very careful about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that Pākehā authors can't write Maori mythology, but...
Yeah. Maui is probably one of the greatest examples of heroic fiction ever put together. Awesome. Holy shit.
Maui's great.
And
let's storm the sun and beat it to death.
Yeah. Well, let's beat it until it crawls away.
Beat it until it cries.
Take that, sun.
The second point was, my cultural heritage is vampires. Woo. So, like, my grandfather was actually scared of vampires.
Those will never sell.
Yeah.
No.
It's not like I don't think I've written those. So I'm going to write something that's very similar to what I know, but very different from what I've written. So something to take shape is very literary. Mm. Which I think would be good, especially with my problem of description. Because this will definitely force me to be more descriptive in my writing rather than action.
Have you read House of Leaves?
No, I'm going to read House of Leaves. That's in my other...
That's the most meta... But anyway,
I'm making a list of books to read, I'm going to be reading a lot more literary.
Uh-huh.
Reading a lot more contemporary and a lot more New Zealand fiction.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, and I think that's a pretty good way to end the episode.
That's a good way to end the episode, yeah.
All right.
Well, we didn't get Angela's.
It's like,
what do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
You going to write something this year?
She's trying to sneak away with me.
I still have my 2 years old now nano manuscript, which if I'm lucky, I will be able to bang out into a presentable second draft for my beta reading team. I'm going to be studying. I'm going back to school, actually. I applied at Welltech to start a guest certificate in hairdressing, because I've spent like the last decade getting really good at makeup and body art and stuff, so now I'm like, I'll spend the next decade on hair.
Mm.
So I'm going to school full time again, so who knows what time I'll have to continue writing. Reading is going to be a big thing for me, actually, because I've got like this whole mess of books. I've been acquiring books, and I've got like, oh god, 40 books like that I have either. since the last book swap, since the book fair locally, since Christmas, I'm like, okay, stop acquiring books and start reading them.
Yes,
god darn it.
That's my other thing, because unlike Angela, I don't have 40. I have around 400.
Oh, honey. Well, you have ebooks, at least, right?
No, they're in the second room of the house.
Oh, dear.
They're in piles of my bedroom. I have five bookcases.
Toss me some of those sometimes. Some bad fantasy, some bad sci-fi. I would love to read some more.
A lot of them is young adult.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Because I keep... But it's,
well, now I know where to go if I need more stuff to read.
Yeah, so...
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, so that's where we can end then. We've
New Year's from the Wellington Inkslingers.
Yes, Happy New Year's. Hope it's a good one. And,
happy reading.
Happy reading. Happy reading.
Come
happy
on, Jack,
writing.
Say something.
Come on, Jack, say
something.
There we go. Hey! Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Wellington Inkslingers. Our theme music is Metricity by Declan Doherty Ramsey. You can find us on Twitter at InkslingersWGTN and on Tumblr at Wellington Writers. Thanks for listening.